8:29 right now, 55 KRCD Talk Station. Everybody's tuning in because they know at this time of day it's Judge Ennis Napolitano on a Wednesday at 8:30. Welcome back, Your Honor. It's always a real pleasure having you on.
The pleasure is mine as well, Brian. How are you, my dear friend?
I'm doing really well. Doing really well. Do you know Ilya Shapiro, the director of the Robert Levy Center of Constitutional Studies at Cato?
I do.
Just
gifted,
talk to him.
Gifted legal scholar.
Just talk to him. He's got a new book out. It's called Supreme Disorder, Judicial Nominations and the Politics of America's Highest Court. Talking about how the problems that we face, the idea that Kavanaugh would be drugged through the mud. You can go all the way back to Bork. You can look at the Merrick Garland situation. And he said this problem precedes all of this, and it's not the fault of the legislative branch necessarily. It's the judicial branch's problem of its own making because of what I characterize as activism, but the powers that they have ultimately given themselves almost as a legislative branch anymore. And that's why these things are so unbelievably critical. He thinks we need a refocusing of the judiciary and a return to some normalcy, at least in terms of more conservative-minded justices not taking such an activist role over our lives.
Well, I agree with him, and I know him very well. You know, I am just finishing up. It's taken me 4 years to write this, a 550-page, 1,600-footnote treatise on the natural law. Now, before you can go to an academic publisher, you have to endure peer review, which is about 25 of your academic peers grilling the daylights out of you. One of those 25 was Ilya, and even though he agrees with 99% of what is in this book, he went for my jugular. But it was a happy 8 hours, and I survived, and the book survived. He studies the Constitution as I do. He studies it full time. And I agree with him. Now, some of what we see today is tit for tat.
Yeah.
The Democrats did this to Bork. The Republicans are going to do it to whoever. Bork, Thomas, Kavanaugh, and now probably whoever this nominee is. But he is right. The court has almost become a super legislature. If President Trump succeeds in getting whoever his nominee is seated before Election Day, and if Joe Biden wins, and if the Democrats take the Senate, that's three ifs, you're going to see more tit for tat. You're going to see the Congress try to do things to change the makeup of the court, to reduce its jurisdiction. If they add people to the court, and then 5 years later, if the Republicans are in power and they add people to the court will lose its respectability. It will just become a super legislature whose makeup is filled by whatever political powers control the White House and the Senate. And that's not right.
No.
I believe this started with Roe versus Wade, where they wrote their own law and set their own standards, and none of it was based on the Constitution, and we're still suffering from that today.
Yeah, and you know,
there was a time when justices were just put on the court. Somebody died on a Monday, the replacement was on Tuesday. There was also a time Justice William Brennan, who was a former member of the same court that I was a member of in New Jersey, was appointed by President Eisenhower in a trial period. He did so well after 6 months, there was no need for a hearing. The Senate confirmed him. So what we've seen with Bork and Thomas and Kavanaugh is a modern phenomenon that doesn't seem to be getting better. It seems to be getting worse.
Much worse, much worse. Well, and the idea, though, that they're screaming about Trump moving forward with this pick, I guess is going to happen on Saturday, and they may have a tough row to hoe since he's allegedly going to pick a woman. They're going to have the sexual harassment allegations to blow around, at least I presume so, but we'll wait and see what the attack is. But there's no Ruth Bader Ginsburg or dying wish exception within the Constitution. It's the president making a recommendation with the advice and consent of Senate. That's it, right? There's
yes.
No presidential election year exception.
There are these nuances. I thought 3.5 years ago that the Senate treated Judge Garland very shabbily. They had the votes to defeat him. They should have held a hearing and defeated him rather than refusing to hold the hearing. And Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, I know them both well on a first name basis. sound like hypocrites today. However, there is no constitutional or legal impediment to the president nominating a successor at any time. Could nominate the successor on January 18th before he leaves office. And there's no constitutional impediment or legal impediment to the Senate taking up that nomination at any time.
Now, and you make a very good point in response to this argument that's, you know, the Republicans, you know, played fast and loose last time. The good point is, and I tried to remind people of this all week, which is the Senate was controlled by Republicans at the time. The presidency was obviously Democrat. They would have, had they voted on it, defeated him. They could have said no Merrick Garland, and that would have been the end of it. And had they done that, you wouldn't have this, oh, you did it this way last time, and you should be doing it the same way this time. The circumstances are different.
Correct. You know, Lindsey Graham's an interesting person here. Now he's chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He has said, he voted to confirm Ruth Bader Ginsburg, by the way, a very conservative Republican voting to confirm a notorious progressive liberal Democrat, because his view is the choice is the president's and the Senate should confirm as long as the person is basically qualified. So that's one of the reasons I think that they never took the vote on Merrick Garland. Was he basically qualified? Of course he was. He had been a federal prosecutor for 25 years and a federal appeals court judge for 15 years. He was the most conservative judicial nominee to the Supreme Court offered by a Democratic president since FDR nominated Robert Jackson, his sitting attorney general, to the court. But Lindsey Graham didn't want to be forced to vote yes or no. So he persuaded the powers to be to relieve him of the obligation to vote.
And pick your brain on the whole idea of this identity politics and the Supreme Court nominees. I mean, Donald Trump said he's going to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg with a woman, and I guess that's the tit for the what you do, the, you know, consistency. But Joe Biden is promising an African American woman. Now, he won't mention anybody's name, and I think that that's his problem for his campaign. But this idea that the color of one's skin or one's gender has an impact on or somehow is important for the interpretation of the law, I find that a little bit troubling. Just wanted to gauge your reaction on that.
I agree with you. And look, you'll know immediately if Donald Trump is playing this game as well. If he nominates Judge Barrett from the Seventh Circuit, that's who his favorite has been all along. She doesn't bring him any votes that he doesn't already have. If he nominates Judge Lagoa from the 11th Circuit, Cuban-American, who ran for office and was elected in Florida and is immensely popular in the Cuban-American community in Florida, then you're going to see politics playing the fine hand, because without Florida's electoral votes, President Trump's path to the nomination is very, very narrow, and he is presently consistently losing in all the polls in Florida. So does politics play a role? Yes. Should it? There's no way to keep it out. Presidents really should be thinking about judicial philosophy and not their own reelection. But presidents are human beings.
They are.
The idea of saying ahead of time who's on the list, I mean, that was devised by President Trump. No one has ever done that before, and Joe Biden has not fallen for that. In fact, the two nominees this time around weren't even on his list. Just they added them recently to say that they had been on the list.
Well, I guess he could have seen the writing on the wall that he was going to have to replace a woman with a woman. So
the other day he said on Fox and Friends, I have a very bright 70-year-old friend who ought to be on the court, but I'm looking for people that are younger. I wonder who he was talking about. You have to mention the age.
Judge Napolitano, it is so much fun having you on this show. I thought one of the highlights of my week, my friend.
Same here, Brian. All the best until next week.
Yes, indeed.
By the way, I was just given the assignment of working all night on election night. No sleep. In front of the camera all night from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Wow. Well, in that regard, Your Honor, if I had to do that assignment, honestly, I'd much rather be in the comfort and convenience of my own home having to do it than stuck at a studio for that long. So I view
that as a plus.
Right. Find the pluses where you can. Your Honor, stay well until next week.
All the best. Until next week, Brian.
Take care. 839 right now, 55KRC, the talk station. Opportunity for me to mention Fasten Pro. I love those folks at Fasten Pro Roofing. because they're great people. You know, Ray Mattre served his country in the Navy, and he joined up with Amanda Weaver, and for more than 20 years, I think he's like 22 now, they've been together, and they, well, have a fantastic